Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ahí va a llegar el gol del Arsenal. Ozil marca. Mesut Ozil. Bellerín, qué golazo.
Magnífico.
Gol. Qué golazo de Bellerín. Gol del Arsenal. Gran gol de Bellerín, 1-0.
This is Arscast Extra.
Hello there and welcome to another Arscast Extra, as always, with James from Gunnerblog. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Just to tell you that this Arscast Extra is brought to you in association with Audible.com. You can get yourself a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/Arscast. Sign up there, get your free trial, your free audiobook, and it helps us out a little bit here. It means we can eat... Have the odd sandwich. It's good.
That'd be nice.
Would be nice. What kind of sandwich would you have if we had money for sandwiches?
Bacon, I think.
Yeah?
I know it's traditionally a breakfast food, but sort of whatever time you're listening to this, you can assume I'd quite like a bacon sandwich.
Yeah? All right.
I don't think there's a bad time for one.
No, I don't think so. I would, well, maybe. I could think of some bad times, but we won't go into that. I don't think that would be fair.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was good, actually, but it was a bank holiday, so did some bank holiday kind of things, did some late night radio presenting. I don't know if you heard any of that.
I didn't hear that, no.
No.
I was away in a field in Wales.
Well, yeah, they don't have internet there or radios or
things. They really didn't. It was very strange. I didn't know what was going on in the world.
Yeah, well, I came back drunk as a lord. Because I was out with Mrs. Bloggs and she went to bed, and then I was up late playing tunes on Saturday night, which was quite good. And this website called Mixler.com, and you can sign up and you can basically broadcast live. So I was just playing music and telling people to come on a lot, as far as I can make out. But it seemed to be fun. Some people seemed to enjoy it. So that was it. That was the broadcasting revolution there.
It sounds lovely, yeah.
Yeah, well, so we might have to get on board with a bit of that at some point. Maybe do something live. Who knows? What were you doing in a field in Wales?
There's a comedy festival there. It's in a place called McCunfleth, and I apologise to any Welsh listeners for the destruction of the pronunciation of that word. But, really nice little comedy festival. I imagine it's really nice if it doesn't rain for the whole time. Which it did. But it was still very, enjoyable. Two different men came up to me and shouted Gunnerblog. If they're listening, hello.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny, isn't it? That's funny.
It was. One of them later came up and was like, yeah, sorry, I realised I just sort of came up to you and shouted Gunnerblog, which was a bit weird. And I was like, well, worse things have been shouted at me in the street.
That is true. Actually, funny thing, on Sunday I was sitting in town, quite hungover, having a pint with Mrs. Bloggs, and a chap came up to me and went, you're Arsblog? And I went, yes, I am. And he said, hello, really nice to meet you. And you must be Mrs. Bloggs. Oh, wow, you did that FA Cup final live blog. That was so awesome. Blah, blah, blah. I think he was more impressed with meeting Mrs. Bloggs than meeting me.
But understandable. Inevitable.
Yeah. Turns out it was the brother of Tim Wheeler from the band Ash.
So
there you go. What a small world we live in.
It is a very small world.
The other week I was actually walking downtown again with Mrs. Bloggs. She tends to follow me around a lot. But,
Right.
But anyway, this we were just walking downtown and this guy goes, Arsblog! And I went... kind of waved. I had no idea who he was, and the guy just kind of realized what he'd done. He was with his friends, and one of his friends, as they're walking off, is going, God, you're such a fucking loser. It was quite funny. But there you go.
Yeah.
So, well, fun weekend.
Fun weekend. I mean, and also, I was able to avoid some of the events of Sunday, you know, which was good. I was pleased about that.
What happened? Nothing happened on Sunday, as far as I'm aware.
Well, no. I mean, as I say, I didn't have any internet, didn't know what was going on, so... It's passed without comment, really.
It's history now. And look, we're forward-thinking individuals. We're not going to live in the past by talking about things which, you know, happened days ago or didn't happen at all, in fact.
Forget Sunday. Let's talk about the important thing, Monday.
Monday, yes. It was quite good, I have to say. It was quite quite impressive at times, perhaps a little bit sexual.
That's an interesting adjective. But, yeah. I mean, it was. There were certainly moments... that were quite sublime.
Like that Mesut Ozil flick, for example. Delicious.
Apparently, and I don't know because I turned off the coverage, but apparently Sky didn't show a single replay of that.
Really?
Yeah, and they had about an hour and a half to fill.
Well, that strikes me as a wasted opportunity to actually show something that you just very rarely see in a game of football. You know, the vision, the awareness, the ability to do it. Whatever about thinking, oh, there's a guy, and if I could flick the ball around to him, you know, that would be good for my team. But to have the talent to be able to do it the way he did it, he sort of caressed the ball around the defender straight into it. It was amazing, amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty extraordinary.
What did they show? They probably showed Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville complaining about something, right? I guess.
I don't know. I tuned out. But, my work was done. I'd seen the win. That was all that really mattered at that point. But yeah. I had a couple of people tweet me saying, Sky are ignoring Ozil. And I thought... And to be fair, actually, I thought he was brilliant on the night. Like, I thought that flick was the sort of isolated moment of genius, but there were other moments that were almost as good, really. Like his quick feet, his decision making, his passing.
Yeah.
Even some of his defensive work. I mean, you know, I think a couple of the goals came from him nicking the ball back in midfield. And I thought it was one of his best performances in an Arsenal shirt. He seems to be playing full of confidence, and the results are pretty spectacular.
Yeah, yeah. There was one moment as well over by the near touchline where he just kind of stepped inside a couple of players and just played a really simple pass. And he makes extraordinarily difficult things look really simple.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I think what was nice is that, like, he's always been very efficient in possession, but it was almost nice to see him cut loose a bit at Hull and not quite showboat, but, you know, freestyle a bit. And because he's got the technical ability and he's got the imagination, and it's just brilliant to watch when it comes off.
There was a back heel, actually, that I think he expected Bellerin to keep running.
Yeah.
And just set up, well, it would have been awesome. But, I mean, again, that will come from players being on the same wavelength, and Bellerin's still quite young and getting used to things. And now you know that, you know, if you're within 5 yards of Mesut Ozil, chances are he can find you, so expect it.
Yeah. Exactly. Go on.
No, I was just going to say, no surprise that the team was unchanged from the game against Chelsea.
No, I don't think so. I think they found something that's working, and there's not really an obvious reason to mix it up.
That Aaron Ramsey on the right doesn't work, does it?
Nah, forget it. It's a waste of time. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's a really interesting one, isn't it? Because I think we've talked about it on here, but there was one game where you felt it was a bit problematic, and for me that was the Reading match, where they sat incredibly deep and we just couldn't stretch them enough and we didn't offer enough width. But it was telling that I think Matcha Debushi played that day, and I feel like when you've got Bellerin there, who's so relentless in those runs to the byline, that you can almost afford to have Ramsey inside him. And the way that he was, you know, chasing onto the through balls from Cazorla and Ozil was really encouraging and a really brilliant goal. They got the deflection, but the first touch was superb.
I like what he does, I have to say. And he's a very, very good technical player, isn't he? You know, I think that's part of his game that, you know, for a British player, perhaps, that gets overlooked, some of his touches and back heels and flicks. While they were frustrating when they didn't come off, they're almost Ozilian. Can we use that word?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
I think there's something of the Freddie Ljungberg about him if you play him on the right-hand side. because he's, I don't want to go overboard with it, but he has got brilliant movement off the ball and a real goal scoring instinct, and he can finish.
Mm.
And if you've got kind of Ozil or Cazorla playing that Bergkamp-esque creative role, I think having Ramsey being able to run off a centre forward, you know, between the fullback and the centre half is a really potent weapon. I'm not sure it's like the long term solution for him, but at the present, it's definitely working out.
Mm. Yeah, it surely is. Two goals as well for Alexis Sanchez. That brings him to 24 for the season. And that is that's a very impressive debut season.
Yeah, I think he's going to be quite good. I'm just getting the vibe slowly that...
You reckon? He might,
yeah, yeah. I've got a good feeling about this guy. Now, he was desperate for the hat-trick as well, wasn't he? You could tell. I mean, I know he always plays like he's desperate to score and desperate to make an impression, but I think he would have enjoyed that. But he... You know, free kick, got the deflection. That was the goal that had three contributions from former Spurs players, which
it
I
was.
Enjoyed.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Yeah, so I think it was Huddleston lost the ball, Livermore made the foul, and Dawson just, you know, flicked off the top of his head into the net. But the second goal was really well taken as well. There was a point where, if you watch it, Mesut Ozil's involved in the build-up, and he's kind of chasing parallel to Alexis, waiting for potentially a square pass. But as soon as Alexis... just arrives at the ball, Ozil actually sort of stops running because he's like, he's got this.
Yeah.
And he just took it round the goalkeeper and finished it brilliantly.
Mm.
So, yeah, I thought, what's he on now, 24?
24, yeah.
And Thierry Henry got 26 in the first season, and you wouldn't bet against him surpassing that, would you, and what's
no.
left?
Is that the record? I mean, do we... I care.
I, no,
I mean, I'm not
think,
one of those who knows someone, all the records, but...
Someone did... put a record up. I think it was Darren Arsenal 1. I'm now just stalling while I find it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's not the record. The record is sort of from the olden days. There you go. 31, Joe Baker.
Right. So that's the best ever debut season, 31.
Yes, apparently so.
And we've got, what, 5 games left to play. Is that right?
Yeah, indeed.
Okay, so, you know, a couple of hat-tricks. And cup final winner, we're in there.
Exactly.
That's only equaling it, though. We'd want to do better. Otherwise, we should probably think about moving him on this summer.
So, was it all a lot easier than you expected, Hal, then?
Well, I wasn't expecting it to be that difficult because of the way we were playing. You can't help but have confidence in the ability to get the right result. You know, I think they obviously won a couple of games, one against Palace, one against Liverpool, but I suspect if you were to throw together a ramshackle 11 of 11 vagrants that you pick out from under a bridge who are basically spending all day drinking methylated spirits and tugging each other off to pass the time, they could probably beat Liverpool at this moment in time. So, I didn't put too much stock in that. I think, obviously, they played better in the second half than they did in the first because goal difference was a big thing for them. They couldn't get spanked 5 or 6 because that could be really, really damaging. You know, they got their goal and that was kind of about it. You know, I don't think they were willing to really have a go in case they got caught out and conceded more goals. But, you know, the way we're playing, the way the midfield is functioning, we're very solid at the back. You've got guys in great form like Alexis, Ozil, Cazorla, Ramsey. You know, did I say Ramsey twice? When these guys are playing in that way, with that much confidence and belief... you know, it's difficult to see you not getting a result against a team like Hull. So, yeah.
I thought that they would pose a bit more of a threat. I remember, was it last year we went there and they were a sort of menace on set pieces and obviously the FA Cup final too.
Yeah.
But I think I'm right in saying they didn't have a corner in the game.
They did have a corner in the game, did they? I'm pretty sure they did. Maybe they didn't.
I don't know. I think they didn't. Well, they certainly didn't with not very long to go.
Right.
And that was good. That helped us out a bit, I mm-hmm. suspect.
There were a couple of dangerous crosses, weren't there? The guy,
yeah.
Was it Aluko, had a header that he
ought to have scored that, yeah.
Well, he should have at least got it on target. And there were a couple of early ones, weren't there, where Ospina came out and he punched Coquelin in the head or something, and then there was one where he headed it away when I thought he could have picked it up, and there maybe were a couple of signs that, not that panic would set in, that but that there might have been a little uneasiness in the Arsenal defence. But apart from that, I think we dealt with it well, and we won the ball back from them in good positions where the crosses weren't that dangerous, and when the crosses did come in, we headed them away pretty much every time.
And their goal, I mean, should that have stood? It looked very much like Laurent Koscielny was taken out in the build-up to it.
I did see a replay afterwards where he does, I mean, he followed through right into Koscielny. Yeah. And in real time, it looked like a foul. But he did get the ball.
Right.
You know, he did kind of poke the ball away and then smash into Koscielny. So whether post ball touching smasheroonies is worthy of a free kick, I don't know. I don't know.
Who knows? That's why we're not referees.
Well, I tell you who doesn't know. Lee Mason.
Mm. Yeah, he's quite low down the list in terms of knowledge of these things.
Yeah, he let quite a bit go, I think. And there were some dangerous tackles. What did you think of the tackle by Huddleston on Ramsey?
I thought that was a really bad challenge, I have to say. Yeah, I couldn't believe that escaped without more punishment.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, I was flabbergasted about that. I thought it was very, very... I mean, to say, call it clumsy would be generous.
Yeah, it would be. Would be. It was,
what did you think?
I thought it was clumsy. And I thought it was just like a bit desperate. But I also thought that it was too forceful for a guy who knew he wasn't going to get the ball. You know, if he just stood in his way, perhaps he would have made the same foul or stopped him, because that's what his intention was. So, you know, it's a little bit worrying when you see Ramsey smashing the ground and, you know, thinking, oh, crap, we could do without this, really. But, you know, his response to that was to come on, score a goal and make an assist. So kudos to him.
Yeah, not a bad night's work in the end from him.
Indeed.
I mean, after half time, it was pretty comfortable, really, wasn't it? It wasn't one of those, even when they got the one goal, we reasserted control pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't think anybody was really worried, despite Sky's attempts to go, well, you can hear the belief around the crowd now. No, you can't. Can't hear any belief. You can hear the noise of a crowd that is happy that their team has scored one goal, but, you know, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think there was much in it. Also, of course, it provided us with the requisite points for St. Tottenham's Day.
Indeed. Happy St. Tottenham's Day, one and all.
Mm. It's a bit like celebrating Sunday, though, or something.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Something very inevitable about it.
Yeah.
Although we celebrate New Year's Day to an extent, and that happens every year.
Yeah.
Christmas never gets old.
Well, it kind of does. In fairness, it kind of does. Here's a great stat from our friend Orbino. Since Arsene Wenger arrived in North London, Arsenal are the only team Spurs have not finished above in the whole Football League. That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
There's some stat as well about if you'd bet a Spurs fan £1 in 1995 that we'd finish above them and then play double or quits over the following years, they would owe you like a gazillion pounds.
Right.
I think that's the official number.
That's the official number. The other thing as well is that if you'd bet a Spurs fan in 1995 that we would finish above them and you played double or quits, that Spurs fan would still be a cunt.
Yeah, that is true. No amount of gambling can take that away.
No. We're dishing out the truth here today, man.
Calling it like it is. Well, you know, it's a relaxed podcast. It was a relaxed game.
Yeah.
It's a weird situation, you know. We're enjoying... I didn't finish that sentence, but I don't care.
Right.
It's been a bank holiday. I'm just going to leave it hanging. We're enjoying. Who knows what we're enjoying? I've just said it.
Yeah.
And are you confident now of, like, second place? We've got a game in hand on City. Do you think it's something we can do?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it's in our own hands. You know, some suggestions that the way we played against Hull, I saw the words flat track bully mentioned a few times and the pressure's off and we can do this. But, you know, the pressure was on 10 games ago after we lost to Tottenham. So the pressure was on there, and the response to that was, you know, to win 9 and draw one of our next 10 league games. So I'm not sure that you can really throw that accusation around. There's a gap to be made up, clearly, and we won't go into the reasons why that gap exists. We've, you know, done it to death on the podcast and on the blogs and everything else. We all know. But, you know, we've put ourselves in a good position. Maybe there is a bit more pressure now because there will be an expectation of second place. With the game in hand, obviously the game against Manchester United is relatively difficult just because of the nature of that fixture. But the rest of the games, who have we got? Sunderland, West Brom, Swansea, Manchester United. Is that it?
I think they're the four.
Obviously not in that order. So I think it's Swansea. Is it Manchester United?
I don't know. I'm confused. That's West Brom to finish.
Yeah, and then Sunderland is, I think, in the week before the West Brom game.
You're right. So it goes Swansea, United, Sunderland, West Brom.
Right. So, you know, if we beat Swansea and then beat Manchester United, you've got to look at those other two games as very winnable. And, yeah, second place. I think, I'm not sure you would say that's a brilliant season, given the expectations that were going into it. But from where we were, it provides us with a good building block for going forward, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
It's tangible progress. If you finish second in the league, it's a lot better. Well, it's two better than fourth. It's almost doubly better.
I think I heard someone say earlier today that we haven't actually finished second in about 10 years.
2004, 2005, where we finished. I think we finished on something like 81 points.
But we 83, were still, apparently.
83. And we were still loads behind Chelsea, who went bananas that year and won it very convincingly. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's been a slew of third and fourth place finishes. And now it's down to us to go one better and from there take it on into next season. So yeah.
Yeah. Let's get it done.
Okay. Well, look, that will do for part one. Nice and relaxed. I don't think I'll finish this bit. I will, yeah. Now, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with some of your... Nah, I can't be asked for... Questions. That's what we'll do. Right after this. Welcome back to the Arsecast Extra, this week brought to you in association with Audible.com, where you can get audiobooks. They're books that go in your ears. Not literally.
Small books, really small.
Yeah, really, really tiny. But no, you can get them on your iPod and your phone and your computer and all kinds. And you can sign up for a 30-day trial and get a free audiobook download by going to audible.com/arsecast. That's audible. Actually, it's not. It's audibletrial.com/arsecast. So you sign up for the trial and everyone's happy. You get a free audiobook and we get bacon sandwiches.
I mean, it sounds perfect to me.
It's a brilliant combination. It's what the whole world of commerce was designed for, really.
Just a way for people to acquire bacon sandwiches.
Yeah, yeah. All right. We're going to do some questions. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, all right, yeah.
All right.
This one comes from Giant Cal Gunner, and they ask, does Arsene start prioritising squad health for the cup final over the league finish, and if so, at what point?
Yeah, I don't think he does, to be honest. No, not yet, anyway. I mean, I think you want to get the points on the board against Swansea. You've got to be careful of affecting the team's momentum. Mm-hmm. You know, home game against Swansea is one where perhaps you might look at it as the chance to make a couple of changes, but also maybe, you know, get yourself into a position where you can bring on some substitutes, for example. But, you know, I think you just keep playing your best team. We've got a week between all the games. It's not as if we're run off our feet. You know, the training isn't going to be hugely intense at this time of the year. The fitness is right. You know, I don't think it's a case that players will be affected by fatigue. So the only point then is, do you become worried or concerned that a key player might get an injury? And if you go into games with that kind of attitude, you can always find one game that's more important than the next one. And, I don't know, you end up playing none of your first, you know, it doesn't really work like that. So I just say keep trucking on. That's my thinking.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. I think it's important for the momentum. I also think we've got such a big squad at present that if we're to lose one player, which, you know, touch wood, doesn't happen, but if mm-hmm. it does, I think we're able to compensate at the current time. And I think it's more important that we keep things going and keep this side, you know, this side's gelling really nicely at present, and you want to take that into the final.
Mm, absolutely. All right. Well, that's that answered.
Yeah, dealt with.
All right, this one comes from MikeyMike2711, and he says, I will be in the US by the time the pod is live. My question is, will you read this out? Hashtag first time lucky. And the answer, MikeyMike2711, is no, we won't.
Sorry.
So this one then comes from West Antone, and he wants to know, who shot Ahmed El Mohammadi? Was that not ridiculous?
Yes, it was a bit. And it's a shame because, you know, I really like Ahmed El Mohammadi's name. It's fun to say.
Ahmed El Mohammadi.
Yeah.
Ahmed El Mohammadi. Yeah,
you're getting it's good. Out pretty quickly.
Yeah,
there.
It's good. It's a I'm tongue impressed. Twister.
It is. It's a fun one. But that was a surreal moment, certainly.
Yeah. Just jumped in the air.
Mm.
Like.
Sniper on the roof.
Yeah. Imagine if it was, yeah. It wasn't his finest, well, maybe it was one of his finest moments. Maybe his previous dives have been really, really terrible.
He's the guy who, I think it was when Hull were promoted from the Championship, they were all like scenes of them just, the cameras cut and they were sort of celebrating in the dressing room. But he was just sort of dancing on his own, turning around with his back to the camera, pointing at the name on his shirt. He'd single-handedly done it.
Well, for all we know, he could have.
To be fair, I wasn't paying close attention.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
No, me neither. Or maybe he just wanted people to get into his name. Sing it
well,
with me.
It's worked for us.
Ahmed El Mohammadi. That's what you do.
Mana mana.
Do 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 do. Mohammadi. Do do do.
Maybe we should cut him some slack. He's got a great name.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We'll cut him some slack.
As I said, it's a very relaxed podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to crucify anybody unless they really, really, really deserve it.
This is an important question.
Okay.
It comes from CB Guna, or Kondwani Gondwe, and I've got that out well as well. And he asks...
Impressive.
Thank you. Will Francis Coquelin ever score a goal?
No. I have gone into the future just in the time that we were... just after you asked me that question. Right. And you can't tell, of course,
no.
Because it's time travel. So I've gone into the future... Looked back at the stats,
come straight back to where we stopped off, and the answer, sadly, is no, he will never score a goal. However, the good news for Francis is that he becomes president of France in 2043.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very impressive. Very impressive. It's shortly after France invades Spain. The whole war thing is going on. Life is difficult.
The people are like, who should we turn to?
Baguettes are in short supply because all the flour is needed for improvised bombs. The world's in a strange place then. Don't ask me why flour is there. So that's...
Flour's really explosive, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. It's highly flammable. And if you heat it, it's something to do with the surface area, it will explode. So you have accidentally stumbled upon a potential bomb recipe there.
Right. Well, there you go.
I know, because I was doing a show and I wanted to throw flour around the stage, and I was told that under the lights there was quite a high chance that it would explode.
That you could go on fire during
your
show?
Yeah. And I was like, well, that would be very spectacular, but health and safety, red tape, prevented it from happening.
Probably not great for the rest of your career. Now, I know that you took an inch off your height on the old CV just to give yourself a bit more chance of getting some roles, but I can't imagine having a face like, you know, was pressed onto a George Foreman grill would be particularly good for your acting prospects. Unless you were going to specialise in horror movies.
Oh, that's true as well.
Yeah.
So President Coquelin will never get off the score sheet.
No, it's never going to happen. He'll hit the post a couple of times, but the goal itself will never come. Will never come.
I think he's all right with that. I think he seems like a humble guy.
Yeah. You know, he enjoys other people's goals enough. Did you see the picture of him celebrating Alexis's free kick?
Yeah.
And he's sort of up in the air and he's punching it like as if he was the one himself who did it. So I think he's just going to live vicariously through all the other goal scorers in the Arsenal team.
I agree with you. Yeah, I can't see it. But there was a moment, there was a bit of a moment in the whole game, wasn't there, where I think Ozil was on the counter-attack and he kind of played in Coquelin just on the edge of the penalty area. And
yeah.
It all went a bit awry.
Well, that's when El Mohamedi...
Yes.
That's when he did the jump up in the air, you see.
Mm.
So these kind of things will happen to him throughout his entire career, that he'll be clean through on goal and a defender will just rugby tackle him and... Things like that, you know. He'll have his moments, but it just won't ever happen.
Okay. Well, glad we know that now.
Yeah.
That takes some of the suspense.
Exactly.
Out,
you know, lots of first bet or first goal scoring bets just don't need to be made.
Exactly. We've saved you all a few quid.
Yeah.
Well, it's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn. Okay. All right. This one comes from Rory Jones. It's, well, Rodri or Rory? I guess, is that the Welsh spelling of Rory? Or H-O-D-R-I?
I think that's Rodri. There's a Rory, which is like R-U-A-R-I-D-H, which is very confusing.
Oh, but, yeah, and there's a Rory in Irish, which is R-U-R-R-I-A-I-F-O-D-A-I, accent on the I-A-I-A-I-R-I.
Yeah.
That's in Irish, though.
Yeah, that's the Irish one. Yeah.
But
let's go with Rodri.
Yeah, and his at name is Hawkins72, so I should have just gone with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Schoolboy error.
Yeah. He's talking about the incident where Jack Wilshere was yards from goal, took a shot, and it was stopped quite clearly by the arm of a Hull defender. And he said, with last night's handball, which stopped a certain goal, what actually constitutes a handball these days? Because the first thing that Alan Smith on co-commentary said, well, his hands were in a fairly natural position, even though one of them was stuck out to try and stop the ball. And we go back to the Gary Cahill one. In Irish, he's called Gary Cahill, by the way.
Right.
We don't do the K, it's Cah. He's talking about that one. And we go back to that good player point where, you know, his hands are in a natural position, but, you know, he's responsible for them being there in the first place. So what is a handball these days?
I think you've got to catch it, haven't you, pretty much? You've got to take it cleanly. I don't know. It's really strange. I mean, that one at Hull looked to me like a sort of pity decision, really. I was like, there's no way that's not a penalty. You know, effectively, he saved a certain goal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily have been like, send him off, but you've got to give a spot kick there. It is becoming a little bit absurd, the handball thing. It's very, very hard to get one, isn't it?
It seems more difficult because I remember, it could have been the first game of the Invincible season, and Arsenal were playing Everton, and we were down to 10 men because Sol Campbell had been sent off quite early on. And Thierry Henry had the ball in the box, and I think it could have been Alan Stubbs. Big old Al Stubbs.
Oh, big Al, yeah.
Stubbsy, as he was known. But he had his hands basically by his side, and Henry kicked the ball into his hand, I think quite deliberately. And it wasn't as if Stubbsy, as he was known, sort of stuck his arm out or anything. It just literally hit him on the hand, and it was a ball that wasn't going anywhere in a hurry, not particularly dangerously. Referee, that was a penalty. It was a handball in the box. That's a penalty. And now it's open to interpretation.
I seem to remember Roberto Baggio used to have this trick he used to do where he used to sort of dribble into the penalty area and just like chip the ball at somebody's hands, and that would result in penalties relatively frequently. Now, obviously, that's sort of taking it to an extreme, but it just feels like now, unless you sort of pick the ball up in your hands and start running out of the area like a rugby player, I don't know how you get a penalty.
Rubbing the ball gently, going, good ball,
yeah,
there you are.
That's it.
Why don't video games like FIFA and Pro Evolution Soccer have handball?
That is a really interesting question, isn't it? I think there was one iteration a couple of years ago where there were like accidental handballs. I think it might have been a FIFA, but they were incredibly rare even in that. And obviously, presumably players get annoyed because it's not like, do you think there should be a handball button?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So you like choose to handball it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I tell you what I miss from the FIFA games, because there was one a few years ago. And obviously they decided it wasn't good for the image of the game, but the dive.
Mm.
Remember that, where you could just sort of run in front of somebody, and if you hit the buttons in the right way, you'd either get a free kick or a penalty or get booked. But yeah, that was one of the greatest fun things of all time, was to dive. And, particularly if you're playing against somebody else, they would go bananas because they didn't do anything to you.
No. See? That would be the ultimate insult. Get the penalty from diving, knock it against the crossbar, and then as it comes back, just punch it into the net.
Come on, EA Sports, it's all in the game.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it should be, at any rate.
Yeah.
Another question?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, so this is from Talking Arse. And he's not lying. His picture is of an arse with the face on it. It's really disturbing. I don't know if it's his arse, someone else's. I mean, it's got glasses.
Right.
I can't stop looking.
Right.
But anyway, he says, if Arse Blog is right, big if.
That is a big if, in fairness.
Yeah. But if Arse Blog is right and Santi is leaving, who'll replace him in the deeper midfield role? Jack, Rambo, or a new signing?
That is a very good question. Is it Jack, Rambo, or a new signing? I think probably Ramsey or Wilshere are the obvious candidates for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much as we enjoy Ramsey out on the right-hand side, there are issues where perhaps a more natural player in that position might be a better option. I think we've spoken about it. I think the thing for the manager is he's looking at how to get Ramsey and Cazorla into his team, because both of them are so good and both of them are playing so well at this moment in time. Like, how does he do it? You know, you can't crowd that midfield area. So, it is a nice balance. So I think if Santi goes, and I have to state for the record here that I hope he doesn't, because I think he's... I just love watching him play football. That if he does, I think the manager will look to use Ramsey and Wilshere in that position. But would they be suitable, adequate replacements in your view? They're both different. Very different kind of players to Cazorla.
Very different. I mean, I'd say Wilshere's probably more similar to Cazorla than Ramsey. I think Ramsey, I don't know, is a slightly different style of midfield player. But yeah, I mean, they're the obvious candidates, aren't they? You go a long way to buy more talented central midfield players.
Mm.
And they're at Arsene's disposal, and we know that he wants to ensure he gets them into the team. And if Cazorla goes, then I think that opportunity will present itself to an extent.
Mm.
I don't think he'll be pushing Cazorla out the door, don't get me wrong. I think he'd like him to stay as much as we would, but if this is the summer where he decides he wants to go back to Spain, it may be that our hand is forced somewhat, which would be terrible because he's been playing absolutely brilliant. I think he's been as good this season, if not better than he was in his first season with us.
Yeah.
That's saying something. What did you make of Jack's little cameo last night?
Impressive.
Mm, impressive. Sharp.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I think he came on knowing that when he gets a chance like this, he's got to make an impact. If he wants to get a place back in the team, he's got to come on and show the manager that he's got something to offer. It was interesting, I think, to hear Arsene Wenger talk about him as a player who's going to be best in the final third.
Mm.
He spoke about that this week. And there's a lot of people have looked maybe at Wilshere playing a deeper role in midfield. We know that England have deployed him in a kind of a holding role, which I don't really think is his best. I don't think it's his best position by a long shot. But I think he showed really what he can bring, a couple of those bursts. And on that, I have a question here from... One second. Okay, this comes from Vic the Quick, who's at Victorious81. Okay. And he says, Jack was almost injured 1 minute after coming on. Does he have to change his style of play? Because there was that moment where he went bursting through the whole defence and the only way that they could stop him was to essentially hack him down.
Yeah, that's classic Wilshere, isn't it? He dribbles past a few players into a wall of other players and then holds his ankle for a while. I personally would like to see him adapt his style a little bit, just try and take a few less risks, just because I'm not sure that physically he's robust enough to survive those kinds of challenges on a regular basis. I mean, there were a few heart-in-mouth moments in yesterday's game alone where you thought, is he going to get up all right from this?
Mm.
However, it does seem quite fundamental to his way of playing. He's someone who likes to make ground, likes to wait until the last minute before nipping away from defenders, and who seemingly sees winning a free kick as a kind of a worthwhile pursuit. Do you know what I mean? Like he'll dribble into a situation, I think, knowing that the only way out of it is him getting fouled.
Yeah, he's either going through on goal or he's getting taken out, and chances are most of the time you're going to get taken out. But is the onus then not on the fouler? Or is that not where the focus should be? That if Wilshere's got this brilliant talent to be able to run, to be able to burst, to be able to nick the ball away from players at the last minute, should we not be looking at a situation where he ought to be offered more protection?
Yeah, he ought to be protected rather than having to protect himself to an extent. I think that's certainly true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is definitely the case. I mean, you know, it's a shame if he has to adapt his game because it's an exciting style he has.
Yeah.
And to be fair, you know, there are other players in the squad who have that too. Alexis Sanchez is another one who will dribble until you take him down. It just seems that he, you know, it's that word again, he's a bit more robust than Wilshere. I can't believe I've said it. I mean, his leg's going to literally fall off next week.
Yeah, you fucked him, man. Well done.
Yeah. I don't know. So do you think he's all right in the style that he plays or...?
Wilshere, yeah, I mean, I think maybe a little bit, like you say, in certain areas, a little bit of common sense where you could go back. You don't necessarily have to keep going forward, but I just think that's the way he plays, the way he likes to play. He wants to make things happen, and it's dangerous. You know, it is dangerous for the opposition when you've got a guy who's just running at you, and he does kind of have the size and the stature to be able to do it. You know, this typical low center of gravity. You know, he's not like you couldn't imagine Mertesacker bursting through and slaloming and weaving and bobbing, you know, just because...
I mean, I'd like to see it.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to see it too. But, you know, I don't think that's his game, whereas Jack, of course, is slightly smaller and has got the ability to do it. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it's unfair to blame him for injuries when he's being fouled, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Hmm.
Right, so did we decide? So we sort of thought maybe Ramsey.
I think Ramsey would be the first option. It would change the dynamic of the team, though, I think, a little bit, in the sense that he's a different kind of player from Cazorla, who gets forward maybe a bit more than Cazorla. And what Cazorla offers at the moment from that deep-lying role is some extra creativity in the team, isn't it? Because you look at the pass for Ramsey's goal, even. And from deep, you're looking, well, who are the players who could play that? Although, in fairness, Wilshire made a couple of really good passes. Ramsey as well is capable of those passes. So, yeah, who knows? I think the options... I think the manager would want to use Ramsey and Wilshire rather than make a signing. That would be my thinking on it.
Yeah, I think it would be the old internal solution as well.
Yeah.
One more?
Yes!
Yeah?
Yes!
Yes.
Yes!
What's that sound?
Yes! 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 Yes!
Yeah, that was... that was Toast of London. Have you never watched Toast of London?
Yeah, I have. I have.
So that was Toast of London.
Okay.
So I just thought I'd throw that in there, you know, as a way of saying yes to another question.
Yeah, I concur. I think it's great.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is a disappointingly dry question.
Right.
In relation to that. This is just from True Story number 4. And they asked, what happened to Giroud last night? Was he just taking one for the team?
I think he got a dead leg, didn't he, quite early? But even before that, he looked a little bit leggy, a little bit off the pace. You know, while others were zipping around, the ball was kind of bouncing off him. But, you know, I think he did it. Did all right, you know. You can kind of get away with a performance like that when, you know, when everyone else around you is playing as well as they are.
Mm.
And in fairness, he's carried the burden for a little while, scored a lot of goals, and now we've got Alexis scoring again. Ramsey is scoring, so you know, I think we can live with it. Interesting, Danny Welbeck wasn't fit. So he might have come on for Giroud a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
You know, as it was, I don't think Arsene Wenger was prepared to make the Walcott for Giroud change simply because Hull are quite physical and quite big. And just, you know, it got to the point in the game where it was obvious they weren't going to do anything. So he made the change for Walcott. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think it was his best game by a long way, but not too much to be concerned about, to be honest.
No, and I think, you know, he's got three centre-backs up against him. He occupied them relatively well, and it enabled people to run in behind him. So,
yeah,
I think to an extent he was taking one for the team, and let's hope that there are no consequences. I think he just got a kick on the leg. I think that's all that was. But
yeah,
you're right, had Welbeck been available, I suspect he would have been on earlier.
All right, a lot of people are asking us about the summer, and does that reflect confidence in what's left of this season? That so many people are asking about what we're going to do in the transfer market, etc.?
Maybe. I mean, I think... Also, the league being wrapped up and us being in second place, I think inevitably there's a sense of, well, how do we go better than that?
You know, right.
We're looking forward already and to next season. And yeah, maybe that is in part a confidence thing based on the way we've been playing.
I have to apologise to everyone who is asking about transfer business and who's going to arrive and who's going to go. That my time travel machine that I went to see about Coquelin's goal only works once a day.
Right.
Which is, you know.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. It's a fundamental flaw in its design. But hey, you know, I'm working it out. But here's a question, and this comes from Mariette, at Mariette Mulmonth.
Okay.
And she wants to know, will we finally end the greatest transfer saga of all time and sign Solomon Kalou this summer?
God, I desperately hope not. although it would be a sort of happy ending for him, at least.
I don't think I want to think about Solomon Kalou and happy endings, James.
Okay, I'm sorry to have brought that image upon you. But yeah, no, it would be incredible if that story resurfaces again, wouldn't it?
It would be, because you know, there was a time where, even as ludicrous as it seemed, there was an air of possibility to it. You know, this is a club that signed Park Chu-young.
Exactly. This was the Ben Ayoun era.
This was the Silvestre situation. You know.
Yeah.
Anything could happen.
It was all fair game, wasn't it, at that time?
Mm. Yeah.
But surely those days have gone.
Oh, no, for sure, for sure. And, you know, if you're worried about that whole guy missing the header, Kalou, the man whose head is a perfect triangle, I don't think I don't think he would fit in.
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think, look, best. I think he's at Lille, isn't he, in France?
I don't know.
I mean, I follow his career closely, obviously, because he's become so associated with the club.
Mm.
But I think this may be the first summer for many, many years where Salah Mukolo is not linked with Arsenal.
Yeah, what about one of his brothers? Because his brother is called, well, he's got one brother called Bonaventure.
Oh, is that his brother?
Bonaventure Kalou, yeah.
That's a great name as well, Bonaventure.
Yeah, then there's Mandrake Kalou.
Is there actually?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair play.
Mandrake Kalou. Dougal Kalou.
Yep.
Stephen Kalou.
Stephen Kalou, I think, is probably my
favourite
of the bunch.
Yeah.
Is he a goalkeeper?
No, he's a butcher.
Never mind then.
Yeah. Why? What was your thing with Stephen Kalou and goalkeeper?
I just think we could do with a keeper, maybe.
Ah. Some and people did ask.
If he's got those Kalou genes, then he's probably a great shot stopper. I don't know. Athletic.
Have you got one more, or are we all done?
I'm all out.
You're all out. Yeah, I think I'm pretty much all out as well. Well, that's it. Well, chilled out, relaxed, winning podcast. What can you do?
Are we going to be Tuesday again next week?
Because we are.
Weird
yeah,
fixture list.
Because we're not playing till Monday night against Swansea. What else is going on next weekend, then, in terms of other fixtures that we could possibly have a look at very quickly? Because, obviously, what Manchester City do and what Manchester United do, still have an impact on us. But, okay, I'm going to get the fixtures up here. Crystal Palace versus Manchester United. Well, they haven't reckoned with Sonogo.
Exactly.
Or maybe they have.
Come on, yeah. What a time this would be for the first Premier League goal.
Yeah. What else is happening? So there must be stuff on
Man City,
Sunday.
QPR.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
That's 3 points in the bag.
And then Chelsea versus Liverpool, which you can only hope is some kind of bloodbath.
Yeah, sure.
I hope, do you know what I hope happens between Chelsea and Liverpool? I hope that Chelsea fans, in their quest for whiteness that we know all about, they douse the entire stadium while it's full with very finely sifted flour. So everyone is kind of covered in a sheen of flour, and then it's a beautiful hot May day, and all of a sudden, what could have happened to you on stage happens, and the whole place ignites.
I mean, that would be a wonderful, wonderful scene to unfold.
You should probably tell your brother not to go to the game, just in case.
See how I'm getting on with him this week.
Yeah.
Make a decision on the Friday.
Yeah, yeah. play it by ear a bit.
Exactly. Are you keeping an eye on Aston Villa? What with this final coming up, or are you just sort of letting them get on with it?
I'm sort of letting them get on with it. I watched a bit of the game against Everton last week, and Cleverley's goal was very good. But they're playing West Ham. But they're not out of it. They're not out of the relegation thing by a long shot, because Sunderland have a game in hand. Villa are only 2 points ahead of Sunderland. What could happen? It's quite tight down there, isn't it? It's interesting.
It's very tight. You know, I think it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams probably for one place now, isn't it?
Mm.
You'd think QPR and Burnley are gone.
Yeah.
Newcastle dropping like a stone.
Yes. Yes. It's not good there. Not good.
No.
Well, but who gives a fuck anyway about them?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Who cares, mate?
All right. Well, look, we'll be back next Tuesday with another Arsecast Extra. We'll have the Arsecast regular for you on Friday. So until next time, take it easy, and don't fuck with the future, honestly.
Or flour.
Yeah. All right. Until next one, cheers.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.